This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Hope you're having a great day. It's time to talk some hockey. The man previously known as Puck Daddy, now senior NHL writer at ESPN, Greg Wyshynski, joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. Thanks for jumping on again. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I actually got back from a little post-trade deadline vacay. My pasty basement-dwelling skin has some semblance of a tan, so life is good.
Yeah, I saw your Twitter account was a little light there on the content. You managed to fully unplug, huh?
I have to. It's a rule I made for myself very early on in my career that, like, when I'm on a beach or something, like, I cannot be scrolling Twitter because that's when your fingers get real itchy. And someone has something about an article you wrote like a week before, and now all of a sudden you're arguing with somebody on the internet while you're supposed to be like knocking back pina coladas. So I tend to like try to stay off social and also just like not write anything for a week, which as somebody who writes a lot is hard, but ultimately refreshing.
Yeah, I can imagine that's therapeutic. Now, we're waiting for something therapeutic here with the Stars. The trade deadline was amazing. We want to talk to you about that. But, you know, a couple tough losses here over the weekend, Winnipeg and Colorado. Are we jumping the gun calling the Stars a favorite in the West?
No, I don't think so. I had them winning the Cup before the season for a reason. And that reason is that, you know, they've bubbled under the surface now for two consecutive years in the conference final. I think this team that Jim Nill has put together is of a Stanley Cup quality. I also love the fact that, and Rantanen in theory is going to be one of them, they just have a number of guys that seem to rise to the occasion in the postseason, whether it's Wyatt Johnston or Jake Oettinger. And so, you know, I think it's all there for them. I know we're going to talk about the trade deadline in a second. The only disappointment for me for them at the trade deadline was not finding that Chris Tanev type to add to the blue line. And I know that, you know, part of the math right now for Dallas is that the youngsters are going to be the ones to kind of fill in and play those roles. But there's a reason they made that trade last year for Tanev, and it's to have that veteran hand available to you in the playoffs, even if as an insurance policy. So to me, like, as long as everybody gets healthy when they're supposed to get healthy, this is a team that top to bottom impresses me more than anybody else in the West. And I think they've got the stuff to win.
Yeah, and when you, okay, kind of further for us, then why do you think they have this stuff? What stuff do you like about this team?
Well, first of all, I love that it's a playoff tested group. I mean, obviously you have some players on this roster that have oodles of career playoff experience. I like how the pieces fit. I like how a lot of the players on this team that make up the core of this team are just as good offensively as they are defensively. I like that this group has, like I said, gotten to that bridesmaid position mm-hmm. in consecutive seasons and not broken through, which just and you could look no further than Colorado and Nathan MacKinnon to understand how much that hunger can drive an athlete to finally break through and win after coming so close so many times. Ultimately, I think they're a team that knows how to play playoff quality hockey. And again, you know, if everybody's healthy, they've got a number of accomplished scorers, Rantanen being added to that group, and they have what I think is really the essential part of the DNA of any championship team, which is a defenseman that can give you 25 plus minutes a night and lead the way with his play in Hakkinen. And then you have to have a goaltender that is, in some cases, definitely not going to lose you a series, but in some cases can win you a series, and I think mm-hmm. they have that in Ottinger.
Is there any chance they could go on a run without Heiskanen if he's not available to maybe start the playoffs, or is that like he's a must-have?
Well, considering what's looming for them in the first round of the playoffs based on like the standings and the math, I think you want him in the lineup to take on MacKinnon and company, as that seems to be kind of where things are headed. Could they win that series? Sure, why not? I mean, I think they've shown that they can play Colorado tough, and Colorado is not an inherently unbeatable team, but you'd certainly want them there to increase your chances of getting through what could be, you know, just one of the most epic battles of the playoffs in the first round.
It's Greg Wyshynski here, ESPN, with you on The Fan. With hockey, it's so mysterious with the injuries. I mean, how sure can we be that Miro is going to be back and be his usual self?
You can't. I mean, you just don't. You know, no one knows. I mean, in the cases of a lot of these situations, the assumption is, well, you keep him on long-term injury reserve until game one of the playoffs, because that's what we've seen teams like Tampa and Vegas do so adeptly with their injured guys. But, you know, you look at a situation like the Florida Panthers, for example. I mean, the assumption is that Matthew Tkachuk is going to be on long-term injured reserve until game one of the playoffs, but he'll come back fit as a fiddle and ready to annoy everybody with his new teammate, Brad Marchand. But we don't know. And that's the case with some of these other injured players too. He's going to include it. So hopefully he comes back. I mean, I think that he is an essential ingredient for any kind of sustained Stanley Cup run that they make. And you know, I seriously hope that he is ready for game one of the playoffs.
It was really neat to see Colorado give Rantanen the reception that they did in his return to Colorado. We're so excited to have him. From, you know, from your perspective, how much does he tip the balance of power in Dallas's favor?
Well, that's part of the fun of this for me with Dallas now, is like, on top of all of the expectations of can this team break through and win a cup, you also have a guy that really needs to prove himself a little bit in Rantanen. I mean, not prove himself in the sense that he's got the contract, so he doesn't have to prove himself in that regard. But I do think that there's a little bit of a perception now that Colorado wasn't willing to pay him the money he was looking for because they felt that they could go out and find somebody who is 85% Mikko Rantanen, 80% Mikko Rantanen, and find and have that person under contract for a lot less money than what Rantanen was looking for. And so, you know, there's a certain perception of, like, what is he the product of Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar? Are his sterling playoff numbers, which has honestly been his calling card both in Carolina and now in Dallas, you know, how much of that is playing with those two, you know, potentially Hall of Fame players, and how much of that is Rantanen really driving play himself? So I think it's a really interesting situation for him where, you know, he doesn't have to worry about going to market and being a free agent and having to impress suitors anymore. He's got the contract. He knows where he's going to be. But I do think there's a certain amount of you know, proving himself, not only with him not performing all that well in Carolina before the trade, but also in coming to Dallas and having all of this hanging over of okay, now show us that you're that star that we all thought you were in Colorado, and that you weren't simply just a product of playing with two of the best players in the world.
Greg, when you look at, and you mentioned the, you know, for the playoffs, and which one of those top teams, and we always see this in hockey, which one of the top teams, say in the Western Conference, could be the one that could be all of a sudden gets knocked out, first round knockout? Is there any, is that going to happen anymore, or is it possible this year?
Well, it's a bit of a cheat to say this because this is sort of their reputation, but Winnipeg, I mean, we don't know. We don't quite know who they're going to face yet.
Sure.
Because that last seed in the West is very much in flux. I think the St. Louis Blues currently have the best percentage chance of making the cut in that last wild card spot. But I kind of keep my eye on Utah a little bit in that situation because I think they're really playing well ever since they got healthier. But, you know, Winnipeg has gone out in five games in consecutive seasons. And I wrote about them earlier this year for ESPN, and they're very cognizant of this. They understand that, you know, they're playing great and they're banking points, and Connor Hellebuck is going to win a second straight Vezina and maybe even be the MVP of the league as their goaltender. But, you know, as a team, that hasn't mattered in the first round. They've gotten eliminated in consecutive seasons. And for Hellebuck, his numbers last year in the playoffs were atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got a little bit of something to prove too. So just based on recent history, I got to say Winnipeg. But obviously a lot depends on who they end up matching up with in that first round and who sneaks in that wild card. And frankly, how hot they're playing. I mean, let's not forget, we're only a few years removed from the Tampa Bay Lightning looking like the best team in the world and then getting swept by the Blue Jackets in the first round because the Lightning didn't have a lot to play for the last month of the season. And the Jackets came in guns a-blazing, having to win every game basically down the stretch just to make the playoffs.
How much complaining do you hear from hockey fans just about the playoff format?
It's a great question. That's a very, very good question. Because I am somebody who wants the playoffs expanded. I grew up as a hockey fan in a much different era when there was like, you know, 22 or 23 teams and like 16 get in. And now you're feeling like, you know, a good portion of the league is getting into the playoffs. Now we're at 32. Half the league is sitting at home during the most important time of the year, a time when, you know, casual sports fans are watching hockey because it's the playoffs, and half the league is sitting home. So I'm a big proponent of expanding the playoffs, 10 from each conference. You do a little play-in. You have 7 play 10. You have 8 play 9. And you generate a lot of interest in the product. You get more teams involved. And you keep the 16-team tournament intact because you're doing a play-in round. That's not a very popular thing, though. Like, there's a lot of people that like it, but a lot of fans are just like, I'm cool with 16. And putting in teams that aren't in that top 8 in each conference just waters down the playoffs. So, honestly, I couldn't tell you what the majority opinion is. I want to believe that a lot of fans want more teams in the playoffs, but a lot of fans are very, very vocal about not wanting it. And the bottom line is that we're not going to get it as long as Gary Bettman is the commissioner because he has been so adamant about not expanding the playoffs while every other major league has done it. Football, basketball, NFL, they've all expanded while the NHL hasn't. He's so adamant about not doing it that the owners, the board of governors, don't even bring it up at the meetings. So as long as he's commissioner, we're not getting an expanded playoff.
Greg, I wanted to ask you this question about, as you mentioned, how you cover hockey. Does it make your job easier when you don't know about the injuries, like the upper and lower body injuries and stuff like that? Or is that something that you would like to see him change? And my second question to you on this is that if you were to know a guy's injury and you report it, does the team get all over your ass about it?
On the second one, without question. And I think the big act between the generalization of injuries in the NHL and what you just mentioned as far as reporting on them, the biggest disconnect is concussions.
Yeah.
Because it's a very, very sensitive subject for the NHL. You know, the NHL has to deal with the fact that other leagues have acknowledged the link between repeated, you know, trauma to the head and CTE. The NHL has not done that in the same way that the NFL has, for example. So when you are dealing with concussions and injury, that can certainly keep a player out for an indeterminate amount of time. If they're saying upper body and you report concussion, there's a very good chance you're going to get an angry phone call.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it goes. As far as making our lives easier, I mean, anytime we can get more information disclosed by these teams, it's going to be a lot easier to do our jobs. But I mean, we can't ignore the elephant in the room, which is gambling. And it is kind of amazing that with the way that the NHL has embraced single game sports betting and, you know, has these sponsors and every broadcast is crammed with money lines and over unders, that they haven't been forced to be more candid about injury disclosure. And yet that hasn't happened.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, thank you so much for your thoughts on this hockey situation, sir. Enjoy the rest of the season. We'll try to catch up with you real soon.
That'd be awesome. Thank you so much.
Salute. Yeah, what a stud, man.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 guests, his information, his opinions. It's all there with the Puck Daddy. When we come back, it's time for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420. Chief, what's in store?
Happy St. Paddy's Day. We have the top 10 most famous Pats of all time. 877-881-1053. That's next right here in the Nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's time for the top 10 at 420. Wolchuk is out. Chief stepping in. Here he is with the Wooly Bullies top 10.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Shout out to Wolchuk getting it done in a big way alongside our now three-time G-Bag of the Day champion, Kevin Hagelund.
Yeah, he's on a run.
Really fantastic stuff right there. And Wolchuk will be hanging out with Hagee and Medford tomorrow and Wednesday as well. And then on Friday, the Bully will be back and better than ever with us alongside Lucius live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers.
Look at that.
In Euless off 121. And that is going to be your college basketball hub for a Basketball Friday tournament style. It's going to be fantastic. The TV setup is second to none at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. The fellowship last time was off the charts, and I can only imagine what Friday has in store for us.
Come say hi.
Yeah, please do. Please do. That place is fantastic, and the Tolo turnout a couple of weeks ago was outstanding. And this Friday, I mean, how many people, seriously, 877-881-1053, are taking off work Thursday and or Friday to soak in all the madness?
Well, a lot of guys are doing their vasectomies this week so they can take advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I did a couple of years ago. And I've actually been trying to encourage my younger brother, who is his wife is pregnant with baby number three.
Mm.
And I'm like, dude, he's thinking about the vasectomy stuff. They're trying to decide if they want to be done. I'm like, dude, trust me, at three, I think you want to go ahead and be done here.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was up to him, he probably would be. But wifey may want to crank out another one or two. But I'm like, dude,
wow, she might want to go five.
Yeah, she might want to go five wide there, which is just insane. But I was telling him, because when you get the vasectomy, you have like a 3-month buffer period before that thing really takes effect. So you're playing that dangerous game. And but I was like, dude, if you get it done while she's pregnant, then there's no concerns. She can't get pregnant again.
That's right.
So that 3-month danger zone.
That's genius.
It's not even there. So those of you men considering vasectomy, maybe wife is pregnant now. It's the second, third, fourth time. And you're like, do I want to be done? If you know you want to be done, get the vasectomy done while she is pregnant so that you don't play 3 months of a very dangerous game.
Let me ask you this, Eric. Did you come up with this on your own?
I actually did, yes.
This is genius, dude.
Yeah.
This is genius.
Yeah, I was just thinking it through conversation, you know, talking to him about it, and then it started to dawn on me, because my thing is always like, hey, just so you know, something I wasn't prepared for is the doctor to tell you, yeah, by the way, this isn't like you're ready to go now. Go get him, champ. You still got 3 months, and you might get her pregnant again.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I was like, wow, if I'd have known that, I would have tried to get this thing done while my wife was pregnant that last time, just to not have to worry about it.
I mean, in those 9 months, most guys are just trying to survive, you know, get everything that she needs, take great care of her. They're not thinking about themselves.
Exactly.
You know,
we're too selfless to even consider something like this.
That's one of those things that needs to be put out there and established is like man law. You get your vasectomy when the final baby is in the oven.
Yes, that's the way. That is the way. But yes, this is a big time vasectomy week good for business for those particular doctors.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gentle Procedures who got me all squared away.
And those are outpatient, right? You just go in there.
Yeah.
They lift up the thing and do the little a little cut and you're done.
Yeah, and you're really not you don't see anything. They put that sheet over you, so the only thing you see is unfortunately, you do see like a little bit of smoke fluttering upwards into the skies.
As they've carterized your wiener.
Yes, exactly. But hey, I'll tell you, worth every penny, truly. Don't regret it at all, despite the fact that my wife and my mom remind me all the time that it's reversible. I'm like, yeah, it's not. Not in this house, it's not. When we make a decision, we stand on it.
That's right, yes.
This is about principles, honey.
Integrity.
Okay, St. Patty's Day. I have the top 10 most famous Pats or Patricks of all time. 877-881-1053. This is in or out of sports, so you can go either way with this. There's plenty to choose from. But who is your favorite Pat in honor of St. Patty's Day? And I did want to acknowledge the crazy video that that came out this weekend from a St. Patty's Day frat party near University of Pittsburgh. Did you guys see the footage of that?
No.
There was like an outdoor party, and I guess they were like, it's either sorority house or whatever, and they got a bunch of people on top of the roof. It's like the balcony roof.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I mean, there was a lot of people on this
fell
roof.
Through.
But then there was a ton of people underneath it and of people like kind of out in the backyard. And so people are on top falling down, and then people underneath it are getting smashed.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything about
fatalities.
I don't think there's anything of that nature, but there was obviously some injuries. I don't know the extent of them, but just a drunken frat party gone awry when the roof just caves in on a handful. I mean, there was quite a large number of human beings, even underneath that roof. So it looked pretty dangerous. I'm sure a couple of people got banged up pretty good.
I mean, that's the top 10 spot to drink, though. The upper balcony, you know, everybody's out there. A couple of people are smoking their cigarettes. People are smoking other stuff. The weather's perfect. You know,
yeah, but that can't be the spot where everybody convenes.
Can't.
This has to be a couple of rotations or whatever if you need a heater break. But they had a lot of people came.
Gotta make sure
down.
That thing's reinforced. You know, some of that wood goes bad.
All right, Lucius, top 10 Pats of all time. I say Pat, you say what?
Patrick Ewing.
Ding ding ding.
There he is, out of Georgetown.
No question.
Great career with the Knicks. You even had one great year with the Sonics, as I think we learned a couple of weeks ago in another Wolchuk top 10 at 420. I'm going to go with another figure of my childhood, Pat Morita. Of course, the great Miyagi from the Karate Kid.
I'm so glad you said that, because he actually does make an appearance here, coming in strong at number 10, Mr. Miyagi. I don't know how many people know his real name.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Most people just know him as Miyagi.
I mean, and that's one hell of a brand to stand on forever.
He was a real good friend for Red Fox.
Was he?
Back and forth, yeah. Red Fox helped him out. It's good stuff, man.
Was he a comedian, too? Was Morita a comedian?
Yeah.
Oh, he was?
He had a couple funny one-liners there in the Karate Kid.
Like stand-up guy?
I guess so.
That's awesome. I did not know that about him. Patrick Ewing, by the way, Lucius, coming in at number 13, on the outside looking in. Yeah, this is not just a sports list. Obviously, if this was a sports list, he'd be in the top 10. Surefire.
Top five.
I mean. Who's this list from? Because I've got an act. Well, there's a couple of actors that are Patricks.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Number one on the list.
Really?
Gavin Dawson, you nailed it. So from the X-Men series.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I know him as Picard
from
Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, X-Men as well.
In our local for TV shows, the show Dallas. You heard the show Dallas?
Yeah.
Patrick Duffy. Bobby Ewing.
Oh, Patrick Duffy. You know what? Number 6 on the list, there Brian Broaddus. Okay. Look at you guys.
Iconic.
You've nailed 30% of the top 10 list just by your own brain power.
Okay.
This is Ranker, and this is voted on by our Great Americans.
Okay, Great Americans Ranker. Okay, here we go.
Now, we're getting some good texts coming in here. Locally, we have Pat Doney in the 469. Shout out our guy,
Very
Positive
nice.
Pat. Love me some Pat Doney.
One of the sweetest guys you'll meet.
Pat,
and by that, I mean nice.
Yes, just a generally kind man.
Pat Sajak,
good call. Yes, Wheel of Fortune, 972, and many others texting that in. We have Pat Tillman being texted in quite a bit.
Yeah.
An American legend, a football legend. We have Pat Summerall.
Is he on the list?
He's not on the list, but he's being texted
power.
In.
He didn't make it.
Touchdown.
817, Pat McCrotch. Who's that?
Huh?
The McCrotches, wasn't that a that was a film family?
Was it?
I believe so. A real star in their own right. We have the most infamous, the most hated Pat, at least of the season, Pat Dumont.
Yeah. I think it's pronounced Dumont, but yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing. You nailed the Patrick part.
So, we have Patrick Swayze getting a lot of love on the text here. Rest in peace. He was Houston. Houston man. I forgot Patrick Swayze was a Texas guy. Huh. He will definitely be making an appearance on this list. We have Patrick Starr.
Huh?
Patrick.
Never heard of him.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
Thank you, Lucius.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we can even do fictional Pats as well.
You got Patrick Dempsey. He's on the latest Dexter show.
Oh, is he really?
When he's a kid, yeah.
He
was McDreamy, dude, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's another guy that cracks the top 10 here. We have
Patrick Beverly.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the funniest, most interesting personalities.
What about Pat on the Saturday Night Live skits?
See, that was the second Pat I thought about. It's Pat.
Who's SNL Pat? Who did it?
Pat was a person who you didn't know what gender they were.
Oh, okay.
Right, because it could be a man.
I see this
now. And then we were introduced to Pat's partner, Chris. Chris could be either one, too.
This is Pat O'Neill Riley was the full name of this individual. Julia Sweeney.
Sweeney, okay, yeah.
Played Pat.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with those bits, but...
You just could not... It was
from
so
the early 90s.
You could not tell. She did everything.
People were trying to,
what?
Ask her questions that would reveal the answer, and she always had something just as ambiguous ready. It was hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Pat Green making an appearance here on the text. 817, Pat Green. Got to show some love. Pat Summit, 682.
Oh,
RIP to the legend.
Oh,
absolutely.
Pat Summit.
You have Summit and Summerall, both great in sports. Pat McAfee getting a lot of love here. I believe he was on the outside looking in when it comes to the top 10. Let's see who
Project
else.
Project Pat.
Project. Oh.
Hey, the lipper. Sit, pump some sipper.
Shout out to the 214 texting it in all caps, screaming at us. Project Pat, please. Hey. There you go. Lucius right on time.
Cheese dope.
Patrick Reed, the PGA cheater.
Yeah.
Patrick Creighton.
Oh, yeah.
Infamous cowboy.
Yeah.
Never forget that drop.
He's a good guest. We should get Patrick on again.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
What high school did he go to?
Ooh, I don't know.
Isn't he DeSoto?
Which school at Northeastern Oklahoma?
Oh, okay. No. I thought he was a darn DeSoto dude.
Let's see. Yeah,
he's a DeSoto dude.
He is.
Did he play at
Northwestern Oklahoma State University.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But he did go to DeSoto.
Yeah.
Famously ran a 4.7 4.40.
Mm-hmm.
Speed demon. Okay, let's go ahead. We have outside looking in here just to clean some things up. Patrick Stump. Are you guys familiar with Patrick Stump?
No.
He's in the band Fall Out Boy. He comes in at number 11.
That's pathetic.
That's ridiculous. We also have
Pat Buchanan.
Oh, he's famous, yeah.
Cannon.
He's a famous.
Yeah. He's a famous
he
conservative.
He steps back.
You think the conservative guy? On,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
How does Pat Sajak not crack the top 10? Coming
That's
in at
odd
number 21.
I mean, the show's not what it used to be, but it's still there.
Isn't Ryan Seacrest doing it now?
He is.
Man, give someone else a job, bro.
Seriously, man.
That's enough.
Vanna White's making those hundreds of millions as well.
Yeah, she demanded a pay raise, I believe.
For 45 days of work? For 13 days of work, excuse me.
Those are long days, though, Lucius.
Yeah, you're right.
Pat Benatar's getting texted in quite a bit.
Crimes of Passion.
She's also on the outside looking in at number 17. Patrick Ewing and Patrick Stump. Now we get into the top 10. Mr. Miyagi, Pat Morita coming in at number 10.
Arnold's.
Patrick Sharp?
Never heard of him.
NHL? Actually,
I got Patty Waugh. Patrick Kane.
Yeah,
Patrick Kane.
Patrick Waugh deserves a place here. He has been texted in a handful of times. But Patrick Sharp did play for the Stars, but most notably with the Flyers and the Blackhawks. You have Pat Jennings. I thought this was going to be a Dawson special.
Oh, wait, this is a punter?
Northern Irish former footballer.
Oh. Punter from the Jets. I think his name is Pat Jennings.
Played 119 games for Northern Ireland as a goalkeeper.
Oh.
Old guy.
Yeah, like in the 40s, I believe, is when he was born.
No love for Pat Robinson on this list?
Pat Robinson not getting the love that he deserves, Lucius. I'm glad you spoke that.
700 Club?
Glad you said that.
Boy, my dad used to run that all the time back in the day.
Tell me about it.
Okay, Broadus. This one's for you, Broadus.
Yeah.
Patrick O'Neill.
Patrick O'Neill. Oh, is that the, I'm thinking of O'Neill, the baseball player.
No, this was a singer.
Oh.
Or actor. Very talented individual. He was born in the 20s, though.
Oh.
Patrick Duffy, as you called, from Dallas, there coming in at number six.
I got that right.
Patrick Warburton, which is not, you'd recognize his face, but
what's his stage name then?
Well, he's an actor. So
that's what I'm saying. Is he go by Patrick Warburton? Is his real name? Like, he doesn't go by Pat Smith or something like that?
No, I don't believe so. But I guess he was in a Seinfeld. He was in a couple of Seinfeld episodes, I guess. But
recognize him now.
Yeah, you recognize his face, but not a household name.
Yeah,
that's a swing and a miss.
Is he the girlfriend of? I mean, not the girlfriend. The boyfriend of.
Phoebe or something crazy. No,
he was in Friends?
No, Seinfeld. I don't know. We move on. Patrick Mahomes comes in at number four. Patrick Dempsey comes in at number three. Swayze at two and number one. Dawson called it. Patrick Stewart.
That is right.
Is he a sir?
Next generation.
He should be at this point. He's earned the sir.
Patrick Stewart.
There it is. Yeah, top 10 Pats.
I was more of a Picard guy than a Captain Kirk guy, if I'm being honest, Brian.
You know what you're talking about.
I thought Kirk was a little obtuse at times. And, Picard could outlead him any day of the week. Thank you, Chief, for filling in for Wolchuk.
My pleasure.
NCAA tournament primer. Which Texas team has the best chance at cutting down the nets? We'll discuss some college hoop for you on the eve of the tournament. That's next in the Nation. Yeah, I have your NCAA tournament primer here. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. I was just, getting nostalgic over the break there about that time in the late 80s. I mean, it started in the 70s, but through the mid-90s or so, where before the internet, you'd watch Saturday Night Live, and you'd often record it so you could watch it again. Mm-hmm. But then you would get together, whether that was at school or work, and talk about it with your friends constantly. Mm-hmm. And that was such a better time of entertainment. Now we just look at our own streams and our own feeds, and now we're even annoyed when your friend wants to show you a video that he was watching too. It's like, come on, dude, I got my own videos. I got my own algorithm. I'm good over here if I want to look at videos. But back then, you would enjoy the content, and then you would get together and basically reenact it for hours, right? Mm-hmm. Like what we did with the Pat bit.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the jokes were basically around Saturday Night Live or... in Living Color and reenacting their sketch
color
comedy.
Was really good. Yeah.
Or, the popular movies of the day or whatever it might be. I mean, you just can't say no to the greatness and the convenience of this technology. It's just a better device. But I think the experience for humans living it was better when it came to interacting with the entertainment. I'm going to stand on that, Brian. And in the meantime, I'm going to give you this NCAA tournament primer. 68-team field announced yesterday. Longhorns win in the opener against the Aggies last week, gets them in ultimately. They will play Xavier on Wednesday night, a battle of 11 seeds, mm-hmm. hoping to get into Friday's game in Milwaukee. They would likely play against Kentucky on Sunday, who they just beat last month, by the way. So maybe a Sweet 16 pathway is there for the Longhorns, if you were wondering, especially with the return of Trey Johnson out of the Lake Highlands. He's a pretty special
player.
They're
in the play-in game, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they got play-in game, and then where do they...
Wednesday night, and then they would play Illinois. Milwaukee on Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah,
so that'll be tough.
We got two play-in games tomorrow night, two on Wednesday, and then they get 48 hours until they got to get back after in the actual field of 64. Yeah. The best shot in the state to actually cut down the nets has to go to the Houston Cougars, number one seed from the Midwest, and in incredible defense. They just came in and have taken the Big 12 by storm. So congrats to them.
Yeah, they really dominated the conference. I think 19-1 in the regular season, tearing up the Big 12. And then they go on the run in the tournament there. And they did it without Juwan Roberts, who might be their best player. And Houston's, they've really gotten bit by the injury bug so much, where they're a really good team, then you get to the tournament time, and they're just not healthy enough to really do significant damage. But now it looks like Roberts will be back for them, and they're otherwise healthy. And they're really, like, they're able to do it without Roberts. Last year they lost Sasser, and I think it was Shed, who was also banged up, and they just didn't have enough horses. Now they're less, like, one-guy dependent, and they're deep, and they play incredible defense and offensively. And they have a nice little, I mean, in round two, taking on what will probably be Gonzaga, will be no joke for them. But then after that, I mean, maybe you end up having to go through Tennessee to ultimately get where you want to go if Tennessee can make it through. But that's a pretty promising bracket for where Houston's set up right now.
Yeah, yeah, a heck of a team. And I got to be honest with you, I kind of pull for them. You know, I was a Clyde Drexler guy growing up.
Yeah, they're just likable. I mean, Kelvin Sampson and what he's done there, and now to be able to maybe be able to put it all together and just what they've done this season, they're awesome. They're worth the hype. Yeah, so for me, it's Houston, and then I think it's Rick Pitino's St. John's squad that just has me fired up, dude.
You're a Pitino guy.
I mean, Pitino, he's just hilarious. Every time he speaks into the microphone, we played that joke that he had on his player the other day about, can the IV put any defense in him, please? Yeah. But that's all his team does. They just they play defense. They dunk. They're violent. They're tough. Offensively, they struggle in a big way, but they're gritty as all hell.
They are. Good squad up there, Brian.
They had a deal where they were asked, Rick, after the game, what he was going to do, that evening. He says he's going to go home and drink a gallon of Jameson.
He's going to go full Rodeo Ron.
He's just getting more irreverent as he gets older.
He's just like, I know, I'm just kidding. I'm not, in reality, he probably is.
Grant McCaslin's Texas Tech's a 3-seed, Big 12 Player of the Year, JT Toppin from Oak Cliff Faith Family. And you have the Aggies, who look like they could beat anybody on any given day, but they struggle down the stretch. They can go cold on offense when they're not getting it in transition. But they beat Auburn a couple weeks ago. They're going to take on Yale, who was the team that upset Auburn last season.
And Yale, from what I understand, Yale has got some guys that can really shoot the three. That's kind of their calling card right now. I meant to look this up. Yeah, Yale's eighth in the country. I thought I heard this. They're right around almost 39% shooting threes.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, so they and that was in just 29 games. So yeah, they're eighth best. If you go through, Houston is the fourth best team in the country shooting threes. And then Yale right there at eight.
That is a recipe for disaster. If they go in, it's going to be tough to win. But I don't think that Yale has seen a set of athletes like the Aggies are going to roll out. It's one thing to be shooting threes over 6'3 guys with questionable closeout speed. This is
wide receivers, judges and lawyers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's hard to play defense when you have a huge presentation tomorrow that you're worried about.
That's right. Okay, as much outrage as there is about UT getting in with their 19 wins, it's actually North Carolina that is getting more backlash for their bid. They were just 1-12 in quadrant one games, which is why SMU was out. I don't think they had any wins against quadrant one teams, but UNC finished 22-13 overall, 13-7 in conference. Many of their losses were to elite teams, and they were down to the wire type of defeats. And basically, supporters of the decision are saying, look, the 68th team is going to be flawed in any year, and especially this year. Like, if we'd have taken West Virginia or Boise or Indiana, it would have still generated a lot of criticism.
Yeah, the talk was that they feel like that West Virginia was the team that got worked here. And they're also talking about that the AD for North Carolina is on the committee. Bubba Cunningham, I believe, is his name.
That's right.
And so, yeah, there was... But he says, no, I wasn't in the room.
I recused myself.
I wasn't in the room when all this was going on, but I'm sure his friends were like, all right, we got to take care of Bubba here, right? He's our guy.
Yeah, because he makes like an extra 100 grand bonus or whatever for UNC making the tournament.
That's stupid.
And West Virginia, when you just do blind resumes, West Virginia is the team that got snubbed in all of this because UNC got in. And the West Virginia, the reason why they left West Virginia out is because one of their best players got hurt, like, back in January or December.
This sounds very Florida State in remember in the college playoff when they lost their quarterback.
There are some elements
to
that.
They voted him out. I mean, they're like,
That just seems like a rule that needs to be implemented where you can't be an AD or work in any capacity for a university and be on this committee. It's got to be independent people. Am I crazy, Brian?
No, I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Maybe we love college corruption. I think we've
We embrace college corruption.
It's part of the deal, and I know that money matters and your brand matters ultimately when it comes to this kind of postseason selection stuff. The Tar Heels are going to play the Aztecs on tomorrow night to determine which 11 seed is going to face off against Ole Miss in the Southern region. Other local guys to look for, KJ Lewis from El Paso, Chapin, and Duncanville. He's at Arizona. Liam McNeely's a UConn forward from Richardson Pierce and Plano John Paul. Jacoby Coles from Denton Guyers at Grand Canyon. By the way, the Grand Canyon women's team is in as well.
Yeah,
have a look at the coach.
The coach, she's
gone viral.
I've seen.
Yes.
I've seen some video of her. She is very attractive. Yeah,
still shots.
There's seen some video.
Yeah, she's a talented gal.
Coaching them up.
Yeah, watching. Very charismatic, I think.
Wasn't their team last year the one that took a run in the tournament? Their men's team. Didn't they have?
Was that Grand Canyon?
Yeah, Grand Canyon.
It was that. No, there was the like a Oakland team.
No, that was Grand Canyon, man. Come on, guys.
I've lost track of them.
It used to be something.
Grand Canyon basketball. Yeah, I think they had. I think they made a run last year in this thing.
Right? Well, they're in the tournament this year, and Friday we'll be taking in all the action.
The crowd is a blast.
Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless. It was a heck of a party last time out. We're bringing Lucius again. So come say hi and have $3 Ultra Pints, $4 Jameson shots. You get the lowdown here on Grand Canyon yet, Brian?
I'm looking.
Okay. We'll have the answer to that
tomorrow.
An edition of Football's Finest coming up next.
I worked with guys that knew something about basketball.
Yeah.
Jeez. Do I have to carry this thing all day?
Go ahead.
My gosh.
Take it away. Give us the breakdown on Grand Canyon. You sound like an expert.
What do you got next, Chief? Tell us all about it.
The Eagles just signed another Georgia Bulldog, and we have your new jersey numbers for your newest Cowboys next year in the nation.